You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Tigers in 20 Off the Boards, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast where we bring you breaking news and interviews with players, top recruits, coaches, and influencers from football and basketball across the city of Memphis and around the nation. Now, let's get to the episode.
Welcome back to Go Tigers 247's Off the Boards. My name is Kenny Stubblefield. Y'all know what we do here. We've been interviewing football players for the last couple of months, man, and I'm excited because we have our very first offensive lineman on this show. We got Jacob Likes with us today, man. What's going on, Jacob?
Hey, nothing much. Got a workout. Glad to be here.
Absolutely, man. So I know this is an audio-only podcast, but I'm looking at you right now. And you look like you just went through a workout. Tell us about your workout this morning, man. How did it go?
Early morning. So it's not as bad as it would be in the afternoon, but it's still hot. You know, out there running. Big conditioning day to day. Went in there, did some squats, power cleans, overhead press, a lot of hamstring work, you name it. I mean, you're in there working for sure.
So what is the most important part of – like if you could name, like, I know strength up top is important, power and stability in your base is important, but as an offensive lineman, like, what is it that you're like, man, if I could do this exercise or concentrate on this muscle group, this is what's going to help me be successful on the field this year?
I mean, legs and hips, those are the two. I'll definitely say I can't pick one specific workout, but I mean, squat, power clean, get your hamstrings right. You know, those, the lower half, your hips and legs are really what's probably the most important to get right.
I mean, because you can be strong up top, but if you're getting bowled over, if you can't move side to side, then it's going to be.
But if you don't have a strong base for that upper body to sit on, that body strength does nothing for you.
Absolutely. So how was spring football this spring for you, and how are summer workouts going so far?
Spring football was good. Glad to get back out on the pads with the guys. Glad to, start getting some more chemistry going with the, O-line and the whole team in general. In spring, workouts just going good. Got to get together, got to bond as O-line. We're trying to do a lot of stuff outside of workouts. O-line, we got to be a tight-knit group.
What do you do? Like, how do you do that? Like, how do you become a tight-knit group on the offensive line? Because it's so interesting to me how I grew up playing basketball. And I played in the paint. I was a big guy in the paint. Never were going to see me playing point guard or anything like that. I didn't have the handles, didn't have the – there's different skill sets for different positions. But you have had to change positions a couple of times now. Last year was your first year playing center for the offensive line. This year you're playing center again. Mm-hmm. But there has been a consistent switching of positions. How does that work in the offensive line? Is that difficult to do, or is it kind of same techniques?
Okay, well, it's different, but our line coach, Coach Bridge, his big thing is we don't play a position. We play offensive line. So, like, last year, there was a drive. I had to get thrown in a guard last year for one drive. I mean, you just got to know how to play everything. Like, especially with the schemes, we have to know every position. We're not just quizzed on our own position. Like, when we get quizzed on play, stuff like that, we have to draw the entire offense, the line. And, like, we got to know what everyone's doing. And then, when we get to practice, we'll do, like, position-specific, like, drills and techniques. But at the same time, like, we still have to know what everyone does. Because at any moment, I can get thrown at guard. If, I need to know how to do tackle, I need to know everything.
How are you enjoying the center position so far?
I love it. I like it. I mean, I guess I could say in control. I like going out there and being able to read the defense. I like being out there, making calls, communicating with Seth back there, talking about, what the defense is looking like, what we should do. I love it.
What are the communications like between you, between a center and a quarterback, specifically between you and Seth? What are the communications like in terms of as you're in the huddle walking up to the line? Obviously, the line gets out first, and y'all get up there, and y'all are pointing out coverages and things like that. What's the communication like between the center and his quarterback?
Well, most of the times, it's not even really communicating. Well, it's communicating. I got to say it loud enough so he can hear it. But there are some situations where I have to look back at him and like double check or ask a question, or he'll ask a question for me. But for most of the part, you know, most of the time, we both just we say stuff loud enough that both of us can hear it, and we communicate with whoever we need to communicate after that. But no, it's good. Me and Seth have a great relationship and communicate very well.
Yeah. So how was it? You know, last year, obviously, I think most pundits and analysts would say that the quarterback position in football is the most important position in all of sports, really, because of the level of knowledge and knowing everything that's going on out there. The ball is always in the quarterback's hands. What was it like building that continuity with Seth as a true freshman last year?
Well, since the moment he stepped on campus, off the field, you know, more loose of a guy, you know, fun guy. I love hanging out with him. But as soon as he touches the field or gets anywhere around a helmet or football, it's locked in. Like, just different person. Like, he's – I call him a field general. You know, he's – when he first got here, I was like, man, who's this freshman? You know, he's out here, you know, locked in, all this, and, like, just was acting different. But, you know, spring ball with him, fall camp with him, I was like, all right, this guy, you know, he's locked in. He's ready to go. You know, he might be a freshman, but mentally he is not a freshman. He's way beyond that.
I mean, you guys had, in terms of skill positions, the team last year introduced a new quarterback, and Brandon had his first real year as a redshirt freshman running the ball.
Yes.
Obviously, the offensive line played a huge role. I mean, with all of that, with Seth and Brandon being brand new to the actually playing on the field, you guys still were extremely effective on the offensive end of the ball throughout the year. I mean, I think passing wise, y'all were 16th in the country and 38th overall. You know, and that's for to have a true freshman quarterback and a redshirt freshman running back. You've got to attribute that to the offensive line, I think, in terms of y'all's continuity and stability. Like, how important was the experience on the offensive line last year to basically kind of keep the ship moving for the Tigers offense?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was my third season last year, so I've been in the system. I know how it works. But, again, that was my first year starting. So having guys like, you know, Dylan Parham next to me, Isaac Ellis, Evan Fields, and Matt Dale, like all these guys that played a lot of minutes, played a lot of games. You know, we had a great offensive line last year, great group. We were very tight knit. You know, we're all together. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter who you put in there. The system's a system. We keep rolling.
That's right, man. Obviously, so y'all took the offensive line took a pretty big hit this offseason, losing Dylan. I mean, it's crazy, man. Like, I've been covering the Tigers football team for 5 years now, and one of the first interviews I did was with Dylan as he was about to move over to the offensive line. And to see him that first year and to see him his final year at Memphis, right. It was really impressive, the transformation in his body, number one. And then number two, just how dominant of an offensive lineman he was throughout his time at Memphis. So you played with Dylan for a couple of years. How comforting was it to have a guy of his caliber next to you?
I mean, it was nice. You know, I can make sure I can make my calls and know Dylan has that guy. But I'll be honest with you. I mean, that's what I'm saying with the chemistry with offensive line. I trusted everyone that was next to me last year. I mean, obviously you had Dylan. I know if I stand the guy up, Dylan's going to be able to lay him out for me. If I, you know, toss him to Dylan's side, Dylan will pick him up. You know, Dylan was definitely different, but when it came to all five across the line, we all trust each other. We all, like, I never had to change anything about my calls, about the way I would scheme things up because of anybody on the offensive line. You know, we were all, you know, five fingers on a fist. We're all together, you know.
I like that. Five fingers on a fist. I like that. That's really good. So like football to me, as somebody who is an active student of the game, who spent most of my life watching basketball, understanding the game of basketball, but not really, you know, learning the game of football and trying to understand it more. Football is definitely, to me, the ultimate team game. You know, you've got 11 guys on both sides of the ball, and all of you have an assignment that if one person messes up an assignment, that play could be blown up. And that doesn't happen often in any other sport. You in basketball, you could how many buckets are made off of broken plays? Well, most of the time in football, if you break a play, you ain't getting yardage out of it.
I mean, that there goes the saying again, five fingers on the fist. I mean, like, that's what we talked about in our O-line room. We have a giant sign that says we're all connected. Because if four of us, like you said, four of us, we pancake our guy, have a great block, whatever you want to say, but then one guy decides to take the play off, the whole play's busted.
So how important to you is, like, to the overall game of football, you look at the stars and you look at the awards, and a lot of times it's skill position guys that get all the love because you see them long passes and long runs and, you know, fantastic catches and throws and things like that. But from a lineman's perspective, how important is your job out there?
Oh, it's very important. I mean, we take great pride in what we do. Yeah, I mean, offensive line, we don't get a lot of love. We're the only I think we're the only position in all of sports that doesn't have a stat line. The only stat line we get is false starts. but, yeah, I mean, we take great pride in what we do. I mean, it's our job. That's why, again, we're a tight-knit group. We got is each other. I mean, don't grant it. You know, all the skill position groups, they all love us. You know, they all give us love. Sometimes, you know, people watching the game and stuff like that, no, only time they notice stuff is if we give up a sack, if we jump off sides, you know.
Right.
But we love what we do. We take great pride in it.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So let's take, we've been talking football for a little bit, right, kind of on the field. Let's take a step back. I want to ask a little bit about Jacob Likes. When did you, so you're from the city of Memphis, man. Like you, have you lived here pretty much your whole life?
Yeah, I was, I grew up out in Eads, you know, went to high school at Christian Brothers. You know, I've lived here my whole life. All my family's from here.
So what's it like playing for the city you grew up in, the university of the city you grew up in?
You know, it's pretty cool. I love it because, like you said, it's the team I grew up, you know, watching. The team I grew up around. I remember, you know, going to Tiger games. I remember when I was a little kid, it was when we would play UAB every year. Our youth football league had this thing where if you had, like, good grades and stuff like that, you were able to run around the field at the Battle of the Bones every year. I remember doing that like every year. So, I mean, it's awesome to be in the same field, playing in the same, you know, same city.
Is it, have you noticed a difference in, you know, they call Memphis Hoop City. They call Memphis, you know, everything's basketball, basketball, basketball. But have you noticed a change in the city of Memphis in terms of its knowledge of football and its passion behind the game?
Absolutely. I mean, like I said, I remember going to those games as a kid. The fan support was not like it is now. I would say when I was probably late middle school is when all my friends, they were like, oh, Memphis football. People started wearing Memphis stuff. And they're like, they're not talking about basketball. They're talking about the football team. And then through high school, then that's everyone watching football games. You know, we're talking about the recruits that Memphis is getting. And then once I got here, you know, my first year, I'm very blessed. My first year was, you know, 2019 and that, right. The great was great year to come into. And especially since then, I mean, it's just a hot topic now within the city. You know, more people are talking about the football team versus the basketball team. And I mean, they're both great, you know, athletic programs, but you know, I'll say like, they're both no longer like basketball, no longer on top. I would say we're right next to each other. You know, we're both hot topics.
Well, I would agree with that. I think, you know, I think that there is, especially in college sports, you can be a basketball city, but the success of a college program, an athletic department, is largely contingent on how good your football program is. And when the football team is good, then your athletic department can be successful. I know you went to CBHS, and CBHS has for years been kind of a feeder system into the SEC. And a lot of guys from CBHS have gone on to play for some of the larger programs around this area. And I'm sure you had schools like that coming after you, some P5 schools coming after you. What was it about Memphis that made you say, you know what, man, like, I'm going to go here?
For one, I wanted a school that was all in on me. I wanted a school that, like, hey, you're my guy. And that was the thing, you know, Memphis came at me early and they were all about me. And Coach Stillfield, and, you know, did a great job. You know, he just showed me the opportunities I had here and everything that I could be at Memphis, and just showed me all the love and, you know, got me. I was like, you know what? Because I shut down my recruitment early. Like, right. I committed in July, but I'll be honest, I knew probably in June. But I, you know, it's a big decision. I was trying to, you know, still weigh on my options. But no, I mean, from the moment they started recruiting me, like, I instantly felt something. I felt a connection with the program, with the team. I felt like, you know, if every time I came here, it felt like home. And yeah, so I didn't, you know, I never really cared about the names of schools, or like, you know, I cared about what was the best fit for me. And Memphis was definitely the best fit for me.
Did you get any pushback on that from anybody at you know, in your community that was like, yo, man, like, hey, you know, Memphis is great, yeah, but did you ever get any pushback on that?
You know, it's funny you say that. Yeah, there were some guys that definitely that were fans of some other schools that were looking at me, and they were like, oh, you should have like took it up on them. I'm like, no, I'm not interested. And blah, blah, blah. But it was funny because after my freshman year, I either A, beat the school that everyone was interested in, or we had a much better record and went to a better bowl than the school that they were talking about went to.
2019, was that the first game of the year? Yeah, baby.
We have a lot of fans. And that wasn't even really a school that was like really looking at me that heavy. But they were like, oh, you should go try it for them. I'm like, they're not going for me. I'm not going to go for them. Like, right. This works. But it's just.
You're like, I want to go to a place that I'm wanted. I want to go to a place that I know that if I commit here, they are all in on me just like I'm all in on them.
And that's the thing. Like, I want a place that feels like home. And it was funny because after I committed, a couple of schools did try, like, to reach out to me. But And my O-line coach from high school, who actually played for the University of Memphis back in the day, he played O-line as well. He told me, once you commit, treat it like a girlfriend. Don't cheat on them. Right. And so I'm not one of those guys that when you commit, I'm 100% committed and then flip three more times afterwards. When I'm, you know, when I committed, I shut down everything. Memphis is the only school I was talking to.
And that's pretty abnormal in college recruiting, in college football recruiting. Like, usually – commitments are great. Like, everybody wants to get a commitment. It's like, oh, the Tigers football team just had four commitments this weekend. Some pretty big time commitments. But yeah, it's always that kind of like, oh man, we got to get to the signing day. You know, we got to get to signing and see what happens. But you're of that mentality that you're like, listen, man, once I commit, I'm all in. I'm ready to go.
I don't want a school's to wait. Like, when I was recruiting, my mindset was, I don't want to waste a school's time. So I don't want, you know, to waste theirs.
Right.
Like, I want to be a mutual thing. Like, if they're going to, you know, if I'm going to waste their time, I can't expect anything different from a school.
Yeah. If I don't want to waste your, I don't want you to waste my time, so I'm not going to waste yours, kind of a deal. Right.
Yeah. Like, it's just, you know, it's a relationship. You got to build it. And I'm not about, you know, burning bridges, breaking relationships. I'm about, you know, just being honest and straight, you know, straightforward about how I feel about things.
I love it. I think that's awesome. So, obviously, y'all are in the throes of summer workouts, and you just got done with spring football. What I know that there's been a little changeover in the offensive line this year. You'll still have some veterans coming, you know, that are playing. But who are some of those young offensive linemen that has impressed you so far? I know it's tough to kind of single people out, but you know, if you could, who's one guy or two guys that you're like, man, this guy's been impressive so far to me?
McCandlin Pounders is one. He's been working very hard. He's, you know, putting the hours, doing extra work, doing everything he can. He has been, like I said, just working very hard. He's been impressing me by his mentality he's had this summer.
I think a lot of folks are excited about McCandlin. When he committed, everybody's like, whoa, okay, that's a huge get. Excited to see what he can do.
Hard not to be excited about. I mean, he's got great natural ability. It's all there right in front of him. And like I say, he's working to get it all, you know, perfected, worked out for him. And then I'm going to say him just because technically he is younger than me. Jonah Gamble, he's, you know, great guy. Me and him have been talking about this since the moment he got here pretty much.
Right.
You know, me and him are locked in together. Me and him, like, we work out together, we run together, we do everything together, so we push each other, you know, together. But he, you know, he's always done it since he got here. You know, he continues to work, he continues to lead, great teammate, great guy. And I think he's going to have a standout year this year. And, you know,
it's so interesting. I was actually, I saw Jonah, one of the first that I think when he came in for his official visit, at a game, I don't remember which game it was. It was in the 2019 season. And it was so interesting to me. Like, obviously, he's a difficult person to miss. He's freaking monstrous. He's huge. But it is so interesting to me to see how these guys have come in and how there's this like behind the scenes grind for a couple of years where it's like you don't just come in automatically and play as a true freshman, especially on the offensive line. Like you got to put in your work and time. Like how difficult is that to like stay mentally engaged during those times where you're not going to play right now, but you got to grind. Like this is not a wasted time period for you.
I mean, freshman year, a lot of guys come in freshman year thinking that they're going to play, thinking, you know, that they're the guy, but then they come in and we all had that welcome to college moment, that welcome to Memphis moment where you just get humbled. You get like, I don't want to use the term, but basically put in your place. Like, hey, you're a freshman. You know, I'm a fifth year senior. I know what I'm doing. I've been here longer. Either follow me or, you know, you're going to struggle.
Or hit the door, right?
Like, yeah. And so that's the way we do. Like, hey, we want you with us, but if we can't bring you along with us, we're not going to stop everybody else just to wait on you. But I mean, no doubt, like, you know, my freshman year, everyone's freshman year is really tough because, you know, you go from being the guy in high school, especially for me, I came in, you know, with a torn ACL. So I was, you know, even more behind, but yeah, you know, you come from high school being the guy, you come from, you know, being recruited, and then you get here and you're surrounded by all these guys that's been here for years. And you're just trying to soak up as much as you can because, you know, some, like I said, some guys come in thinking that they'll play, And then by a couple weeks in, they're like, oh, I don't have a chance this year. You know, there's guys like Dustin Woodard, for example, he's a guy that came in and played. There are guys like that, but I'd say 90% of the time, you got to redshirt, you got to wait your turn, you got to learn for a year. And
so in 2019, your redshirt freshman year, what was your welcome to the Tigers moment?
Bryce Huff.
Tell me about it.
It was like my first or second week back from my ACL. And it was fall camp, and I was on scout team. And I had to do a kickout pull block on Bryce. And I saw his Bryce, and I was like, all right, you know, got to buckle up.
Fast.
Oh,
speed.
I pulled. I got as low as I could, as fast as I could. I was like, you know, just ran and hit him. I made the block, I think. It wasn't great. It wasn't pretty. But like I said, I hit him with everything I had. I don't even know how hard he was going, but he just lowered his shoulder back into me. And I contacted, and I was seeing stars for a second. And then they're like, I slide back up. I'm like, that's just one, you know, that's just a normal play out here. I'm like, good Lord, you know, like, all right, let's go, you know, time to rock. And so, yeah, that was my welcome to Memphis moment.
I think Bryce Huff gave a lot of people welcome to college football moments. And now being in the NFL, dude's just – he's a monster, man.
He's something different, no doubt. Yeah, I will always remember that. Like I said, he probably has no idea if I told him what I'm talking about. But as a little freshman coming in, that was like my first like big hit.
Right.
I was like, man, every snap's like this. Like it's all this fast. It's all this physical. Like, you know, high school, that would have been like – oh, like big hit, you know, like big moment, but like
oohs and ahs from the crowd, and he's going, I forgot about that, like immediately.
Exactly. And so that's what I'm saying. Everyone has like that little welcome, and some people it's more gradual, but like some, you know, I'll say a lot of people do have that snap, like, oh, all right, I'm here. This is what it's like.
Mm-hmm. I got you, man. So last couple of questions for you. As an offensive lineman, when y'all get back into the O-line room and y'all are talking about a practice, post-practice, post-game, what statistic are you looking at after the game or practice to say this was a successful practice, a successful game? What is it, sacks given up? Is it amount of running yards, amount of passing? What is it that you guys look at and say, okay, as a whole, as a five-fingered fist, we were successful today?
So, I mean, there's definitely stuff we look at. Like, yeah, we do take a look at the sacks. We do we like to tally up how many rushing yards we get. That's, you know, we've put great value into that stat. But for the most part, you know, Coach Bridge always says, like, our job as an offense is just to score one more point than the defense. I mean, than the other team. And so we don't really, we're not a big stat, you know, group. We go in, and even if, let's say we go into a game, we rush for 300 yards and give up zero sacks and win by 30. We're going to go in the next day and we're going to still have an hour long cut up of the game.
Right.
Or watch every play and be like, this is what you messed up. So good or bad, we're going to go through and we're going to watch footwork. We're going to watch hand placement. We're going to watch technique. We're going to watch if I messed up with my calls.
Right.
So we don't look, we don't care too much about the stats. We care more about how we performed as a group and how we can get better.
That's good. That's good. That's interesting. So it's more so about the technique more than about the stats for y'all. Like looking at.
Yeah. It's funny. Cause like there'll be a, you know, a play where I think I had like this crazy great block. I threw a dude to the ground and then it comes up on film. I'm like, oh, it must be for someone else. And then he rips me because, you know, my hands were too wide or my feet got too close together, you know, whatever right. it might be. Right. And, you know, I got to realize, I know it was a good block. I know like I did my assignment, but I can do it better.
Right.
So
got to be perfect every time almost, right?
Strive for perfection.
All right. So I got some fan questions for you. They wanted to know a little bit more about Jacob Likes.
All right.
What is your favorite place to eat in the city of Memphis?
Oh, come on now.
a lot of good food, man.
Hey, there's so many places. I mean, there's like my favorite places to eat. And then like, there's like my most frequently places that I eat.
Okay.
I go by Huey's a lot.
Man, come on.
Love Huey. Love Huey's. And then Patrick's.
Yes.
We go there a lot. It's a regular place for us that we go to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, it's close.
Some sneaky good food, man.
You know, it's not a lot of people know about it. I like it. I'm like a big food truck guy. I like going to, you know, I like trying different places.
Yeah.
But, man, that's tough because I love Central Barbecue. Germantown Commissary is really good. But if I had to pick like my favorite, I'm probably after this, I'm going to think of one. I'm going to get upset that I forgot it. But I'm going to go probably, you know, Central and Huey's as my like go places.
I love Huey's, man. I know there's a lot of like good burger spots that are coming here. You know, like the chains, like Five Guys is here. You've got In-N-Out's been trying to get here for a while. And you got Whataburger coming.
You got Babaloo.
Babaloo is good.
Bobby but
for me though, man, you just can't beat Huey's old fashioned, right?
And then you got in Philly there,
yeah.
They got a lot of good options. That's probably
the Fiesta Chicken Wrap is one of my favorites.
Right. That's whenever people come into Memphis, like and like they stay for a while, and like, what should we eat? I take them to Central, take them to Gus's, I take them to Huey's.
How do you decompress from football? I know that at one point you were training to be a pilot. But what are some of the hobbies that you enjoy?
Well, I love being outside. Like, if I'm cooped up all day, I feel like, I don't know, stressed out. Right. So, like, I got a dog. I'll go outside with him and play with him all day.
Yeah.
Whenever I get the chance, you know, fishing, I go, like, with my dog, going on walks with him. Like, this summer, we're taking a family trip. Going, you know, kayaking up in Kentucky. I mean, just anything outdoors. If I'm outside, you know, reading a book, playing with my dog, doesn't matter. Like, I'm, as long as I'm outside, like, I'm, that usually calms me down a little bit.
So you're you like the heat? You like the summertime heat in Memphis?
To a degree. I mean,
to a degree.
You know, this week looks a little toasty. But, you know, yeah, I can stand the heat. You know, like I said, I grew up here, so I'm kind of used to it. But yeah, I mean, my back porch right now is covered by trees, so the sun's not hitting me, so I can sit out there all day.
You're good.
Yeah,
you're
I'm set up. But even – and a weird thing is, like, going outside and, like, just cutting the grass, just going outside and just doing your anything outside. Like, it just stress reliever.
So yesterday I spent all day building a fence at my house and mowing my yard. And I live on probably about an acre, and so I push mow every week my yard. Mm-hmm. And – there is something relaxing and enjoyable about mowing your yard and being able to see,
yes,
like one strip over, like look at what I'm doing. Like, look at the impact that I'm making, the work that I'm doing. I love it. There's something relaxing about that for me.
No, I agree. That's, you know, just being able to see your work immediately. But
all the work we do a lot of times is you don't see the immediate impact, but being like doing manual labor, things like that, you're like, man, I love being able to see it right away.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So what game are you looking forward to the most on the schedule this year?
All of them. I mean, I'm not a guy that really circles one on the calendar. I mean, there's some games, you know, I mean, I really take it one game at a time. So first game I'm looking forward to is Mississippi State.
Right.
I mean, that's, yeah. You know, like I said, first game, that's what I'm preparing for. So I'm ready for that game. But, you know, playing Houston every year, that's always a game to look forward to as well. So, but no, I don't, I'm not a really big circle the calendar kind of guy. You know, Houston, I suppose, would be one, and Mississippi State would be another one. I'll say those are probably the top two if I had to answer.
I mean, it's going to be fun to get up to Starkville this year, I think, and be in the stadium with all the cowbells and, you know, all the – you're going to see a lot of local Memphians that are Mississippi State fans there. It's going to be an enjoyable experience, I think.
Oh, they're upset. A lot of my friends that went to high school with are Mississippi State fans, and they're not happy about it. They're all going to be going down first game of the year for that. And then my new roommate is Colby Cox, you know, the transfer from Mississippi State. Right. So I've been giving him a lot of crap about last year, but
glad he's with y'all now.
Yeah.
Has he learned – let me ask you, has Colby learned the proper technique on downing a ball on special teams? Has he learned that yet coming over to Memphis from Mississippi State?
That was the first thing we went over with him. You know, camp. Yeah. This will never happen here.
Like, listen, you have to actually down the ball. Like, this is the technique.
That was probably one of the craziest moments I've ever had, like, while playing in a game, because I didn't even know what was going on. I was on the sideline, like, getting ready to go out there. I see Calvin start running, and everyone starts freaking out, so I just start freaking out. But
I mean, it's hilarious, but at the same time, like, the real mistake on the field was by the official. You don't wave your hands until – You don't call the play off until it's over.
Well, that, in my opinion, it just shows how smart of a player Calvin is and how
– come on, right?
Great of a player he is.
Just a phenomenal – I mean, just the IQ is off the charts with that kind of a play. Incredible.
I love him to death.
Awesome, man. Well, Jacob, listen, I really appreciate you joining me, man. I know the offensive line doesn't get a lot of love in the fan base, even though everybody knows how important you guys are. But I really appreciate it. I'm excited that Tiger fans are going to be able to hear a little bit more from you, and I'm excited to see you out on the field again this year.
I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tigers and 20 Off the Boards. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a rating and a comment wherever you download your podcast. If you are interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis athletic program, head over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for a VIP membership for even more behind-the-scenes information.
It's the UEFA Champions League on Paramount Plus. Europe's top club soccer tournament. Champions versus champions. The best teams facing off in the knockout rounds.
Magnificent!
And it all takes place
while you're filling out financial reports at work. In the middle of your day, in the middle of your week. So use that second screen. Call in sick. Do whatever you gotta do to tune in Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Nobody watches the UEFA Champions League like us. Stream every match live exclusively on Paramount Plus.